Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Amen. A portion of God's word for our consideration this morning as we celebrate this Christmas day is taken from our Gospel, John chapter 1. It's like a well-written story. It comes full circle. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. All Advent long, we've been waiting for Jesus to come, and now on this Christmas day, the day that we celebrate His birth, He's come. He came and became flesh, John's Christmas story says. He came and became flesh. But what does that mean? We're left with all sorts of questions, aren't we? Why did He come? What happened when He came? What does that mean for you and me today? We could sit and ponder these questions for an eternity and never fully plumb their depths. And John, he plumbs. Unlike Matthew and Luke, who begin their accounts of Jesus' life with His birth, John digs deeper by raising us higher to the heights of heaven with His lofty style, his very simple vocabulary, which explains unimaginable mysteries. In fact, that's why John was depicted by the early Christian church with the symbol of the eagle. This morning, let's ride on those eagle's wings and let's ponder anew what our God has done. For He came and became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him everything was made, and without Him not one thing was made that has been made. The words themselves are not hard to understand, but what John says here, we can't, at least not fully. In the beginning, in our minds drift, don't they, as we remember how the Old Testament began, how God inspired Moses to write? In the beginning, before time was, before anything was, the Word was. And who is this Word? The Word is Jesus. The context of these verses make that clear, even if we can't pick it out right away. And it must have been clear for John's original audience too, because he doesn't go out of his way to explain it. In the beginning, Jesus was. And He was with God. Literally, He was face to face with God. And there again is another mystery. We can't begin to understand how those two persons of the Trinity can interact in that way. But John tells us that in the beginning, Jesus was, and He was with God, and that Jesus was God. Jesus was with God before time began, and He was an active participant in every single aspect of creation. And we sit back and we say, wow. Just those two verses alone are enough to make your head spin. And as important as those verses are, that's not where we're going to spend our time this morning. So what else does John tell us about Jesus? In Him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In Jesus was life. Now, this does not mean simply the ability to live and to breathe. This is talking about eternal life. John uses this same word 36 different times in his gospel to describe the life that is in Christ. Life eternal. It's the life everlasting that comes from Jesus, who is the light of men. And when did that light of Jesus shine in the darkness? Only after the darkness existed did the light enter. And that was only after the fall into sin. You recall what happened, don't you? Adam and Eve were created to live forever. But Satan, the master of darkness, led them into his dominion by convincing them to believe his lies instead of God's truth. And once Adam and Eve left perfection for the darkness of Satan, that darkness enveloped them completely. But God intervened. He promised to send life into the world. He promised to send the head crusher who would bring them life once again. And that light of life shines in the darkness of sin. And those who live in Satan's realm cannot overcome it, not even Satan himself. For Satan himself could not defeat Jesus, no matter how often or how hard he tried. The light shines in the darkness for all to see. This promise of God has been shining forth ever since the fall into sin. But God wasn't just going to let that promise simply hang out there. No, it says the real light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. Jesus, the real light, was coming. That's what we've been preaching all Advent. He's coming. He's coming. And notice what he brings when he comes. Light to everyone. You see, God wants all people to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And on this Christmas day, he's come. What does John tell us about his coming? He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not recognize him. Can you believe it? What a world to live in. A world that does not know its creator, its Lord. But that's the world we live in. Turn on the news for proof. Drive around. Listen to the music that sells. The shows that bring ratings. The books that become bestsellers. How many of them give glory to God by expressing harmony with Him? How many of them agree with the Bible's teachings and encourage obedience to them? How many of them treat sin for what it is and prescribe the only treatment? The proof is in the pudding that we've lost our anchor as a world. That we don't know why we are here or where we are going. That as a creation, we've forgotten our Creator. And yet this is the world that Jesus came to live in. This is the world that Jesus came to save, to break the darkness, to bring the light that gives life. And so we sing joy to the world, the Lord has come. But the world still does not know Him. And that's not even the worst part. He came to what was his own, yet his own people did not accept him. Jesus was born of Mary, legally descended from Joseph. He was an Israelite through and through, as God had promised. Jesus came to Israel, his Old Testament people, whom he had led out of Egypt into the Promised Land, whom he had led from slavery to freedom, from misery to hope. And they did not welcome him. They wanted nothing to do with him. He came to his own people, his own adopted children, and they had better ideas and things to do. No, not all outright rejected him. Not everyone shook their fists at him and shouted mockery. Many just walked by, too busy to notice. Many just didn't care. He came to what was his own, Yet his own people did not accept him. And the very sad part is that they had no excuse. They were doubly guilty, doubly deserving of God's wrath and punishment because they had the promises. They knew better. They had the truth. And so do you. He came to what was his own, yet his own people did not accept him. We are his own adopted children, the people that he's led from the slavery to sin to the freedom of forgiveness, from the misery of the law to the hope of the gospel. We are his own. And yet how often haven't we been too busy to notice? How often haven't we had better ideas or things to do? Too often. For one time is too often. One sin leads us away from God and condemns us forever. But that's why he came. That's why he came and became flesh, so that we might become children of God. But to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. But we know all too well that all too often we resemble the world. We resemble Old Testament Israel, who didn't know him and who didn't receive him. So how is it that we become children of God? First, let's look at how we don't. He gave the right to become children of God. They were born not of blood. You see, God doesn't care who your relatives are. God doesn't care if your whole family has been baptized and married and confirmed and buried out of this church. When the Old Testament Israelites tried to say that they were good with God because of their DNA, because they were descended from Abraham, Jesus said, "If you were Abraham's children, then you would do the things Abraham did. And if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here." He gave the right to become children of God, not of the desire of flesh. Our human flesh wants nothing to do with God by nature. By nature, inwardly, we are dead, spiritually blind, enemies of God. We do not submit to God's will, nor would we ever want to. We could never choose to believe in Jesus, nor would we ever want to. We can't become children of God by ourselves, which is why Paul wrote, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." He gave the right to become children of God, not of a husband's will. As much as I want you to believe what God says here in his word, I can't make you believe. I can't believe for you. I can't argue into believing. We can't be badgered into the light, into salvation. If the only reason that people come here is to get mom or dad or pastor off their backs, that isn't going to save them. No man or woman can save the life of another. No man or woman can believe in place of another. So how then do we become children of God? But to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. They were born not of blood or of the desire of the flesh or of a husband's will, but born of God. It's by God. It's by God alone. James wrote, "He chose," that is God, "God chose to give us birth through the word of truth." And then what does John tell us? The word became flesh and dwelled among us. We have seen his glory, the glory he has as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. full of grace and truth. Jesus came and became flesh. Jesus came and pitched his tent among us for a short time, 33 years. And in those 33 years, we saw his glory. We saw the Father. We saw grace and truth. Jesus, the Word made flesh, the Word of truth, displayed God's glory by fulfilling God's will perfectly. Jesus displayed God's glory by fulfilling all of the promises God made concerning him. Jesus brought peace to the earth and joy to the world by bringing the light of life that the darkness could not overcome. Jesus came and became flesh in order to live in our place. Jesus came and became flesh to display God's greatest glory by dying in our place. Jesus came and became flesh to rise again in glorious triumph so that he could prove once and for all that the darkness had vanished, that the light had triumphed. Jesus came and became flesh that we might have the right to become children of God. And so we sing, "Break forth, O beauteous heavenly light, and usher in the morning. For into the darkness of night, into the darkness of sin, the real light broke forth." And Isaiah's promise was fulfilled. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." It's the most amazing promise. Receive it with joy. "For to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Friends, faith like this child is a gift. Don't toss it away. Receive it. Receive him. For he came and became flesh for you and for your salvation. Receive him and remember again what he has made you through your baptism. A child of God. Amen.